Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of thy glory. There are temples here, O God. There are earthen temples here, temples of clay, O God, that hold a treasure in these earthen vessels. And there's excellency and there's power. And there's more than word here tonight. There's more than just word here. There's spirit and power and life in these words. And you put words into Brother David's heart. You put words and meditations into his heart. He's been speaking to you and seeking your face and communing with you, and you've given him words. And now fill those words with life and bless those words to our hearts. And help us be thrilled and filled and blessed in the presence of the Lord. And may Brother David, as he's speaking to us, find the blessing of the Lord upon him in this way, that being unconscious of our presence, he is sensitive to God's presence. And unconscious of all of us are hearing, he's conscious of the words that God is giving him to speak. Oh, Father, bless us in this assignment tonight with the presence of the Lord in this place. And fill Brother David and speak to our hearts and teach us, instruct us in your gentle and holy way. We pray your blessing tonight upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We also would love to greet you in the precious name of our risen Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Master. We are His servants. And we look to Him. We are here because we love Him. And He is a God that has created us and called us and appointed us to the responsibilities that each one of us has. And our God is a God of purpose. He's a God of intentions for your life. Each one of you. And I want to thank Brother Dale for the introductory here this evening. And I want to thank you, each one, for making the sacrifice to come here. It's a sacrifice to leave your family, your congregation, your work, and many other duties and responsibilities for a week or several days, however long you will be here, and to make your way here. God bless your families at home. May His protecting hands be upon them and your congregation while you are here and while you are away from them. May His love fill their hearts with prayers for you as their shepherd, as their daddy, as their husband, that God would work His work in your heart. Thank you, Brother Dale, for the words here this evening before the message. The title here is, He Maketh His Ministers a Flame of Fire. As Brother Andy said, our flames go dim at times. Many times from the discouragement, trials in a minister's life, the fire tends to go out. I remember one brother used to say, it's the nature of lambs and sheep to go astray, and it's the nature of fire to go out. And so it is. But God's will and plan is that those embers, as low as they might be, would be flamed. And that each one of us, with renewed energy and vision for our people and our congregations and the life that He yet has for us to live here on earth, maybe as John the Baptist says, He was a bright and a shining light. He was a burning fire. Indeed He was. And Jesus told the people there of His day, and they were willing for a time to walk in that light. But John the Baptist was connected to glory. John the Baptist was connected to heaven. And he came for a short while. He had a ministry. He had a purpose. God had a purpose for his life, just like He has a purpose for your life. And that purpose for his may seem short compared to some others. But however long or short it may be is not really important. What is important is that we walk in the light that he has given to us. And that the power and the fire of God in our hearts might blaze, as Brother Allen prayed in the prayer room tonight, as a torch. Might blaze as a torch in this world of darkness and sin and corruption. Might blaze as a torch in our ministries as we serve our people in our congregations. Now this phrase, He maketh His ministers a flame of fire, is mentioned twice in Scripture. First times in the Old Testament, Psalms 104, verse 4, it says, "Who, O Lord my God, maketh his angel spirits and his minister a flaming fire." It's worded slightly different in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." Now the angels and the hosts of God are interested in looking into the things that we have here this evening. Scripture tells us that over there in the New Testament. And the angels are those that do His good pleasure. They are those that are sent forth by Him, and they are ministering spirits, it says, to those that are heirs of salvation. And while this ministers of flame of fire might refer to angels, we like it to refer to you and I as the ministers of God. And that word ministers simply means servants. Servants of God, in which we are. Jesus taught that when He was here. In Matthew chapter 20, He says, "I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister." And He says, "Let him that is chief among you be your servant." And He did that. He was that. He was that example to His disciples. While they were constantly wondering who was going to be the greatest among them, and while Mrs. Zebedee was wishing for her sons to have one on the right hand of His kingdom and the other in the left hand of His kingdom, and even in the upper room as they were around the table, this tenor among these disciples, and especially James and John, the sons of Salome, Mrs. Zebedee, it says the other 10 disciples, they had some indignation against these two. And Jesus settled it once and for all. He lays aside His garment. He girds Himself with a towel. And He gets down with a basin of water and He washes His disciples' feet. A simple lesson that I don't believe they ever forgot. So when we wash each other's feet, brothers, we are servants to each other. It is an example that Jesus has given us to be a servant. And that's what this word ministers here means in both the Old and the New Testament. A servant of God. And may we wash our brothers' feet and serve our brothers and serve our people and serve our God with the energy that causes a fire to burn. Indeed, may we do that. May we be that minister, a flame of fire. This phrase pertains, as I said, to the angels, but may it pertain to us as we think about this thought here for a short while this evening. First of all, we would see Jesus as our example. When John the Revelator saw Him in Revelation chapter 1, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him, and he turned and he saw this one, the Son of God, standing there with the 7 golden candlesticks in his hands." And it says there that his appearance was that his eyes were as a flame of fire. And not only in Revelation 1:14 do you read that about our living Lord, the Lamb of God that John saw, but in Revelation 2:18 and 19 and 12. Three accounts there where the Revelator, John on the Isle of Patmos, describes the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ as one having eyes as flames of fire. And I think Daniel also, while he was by the river there, Hidekel, praying, and Daniel, it says he was on his face before God, and someone touched him, and he turned, and he saw this one, and the same description is given of him. It says he had eyes as flames of fire back in Daniel's age. So may God help us to imitate our Lord. Our brother said that the purpose of these meetings that we could all come into the nature and the image of our living Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we might not have visible fire, many times this fire was visible, especially in the Old Testament, but may we remember that this fire is an energy and an inspiration and a fervor and a resource that burns in the hearts and the lives of you as His ministers. Next of all, we'd like to think of some accounts in the Old Testament. One of them was Moses, when he was out there on the backside of the Mount of God, Mount Sinai. He came upon this bush, and this bush was a representation of God, where God called him to lead His people. And he said, "This bush burned with a fire that did not consume the bush." And Moses, he draws near. And may we draw near to God in these meetings. And if God tells you to let your shoes outside that tabernacle door, that's okay too. That's what He told Moses. He said, "Put the shoes from off thy feet, for the place where on thy standest is holy ground." It's always holy when we draw near to God. When we go away from God, we get into unholy territory. But when we draw near to our living God, that's holy ground, brothers and sisters, and that bush burns with the energy and the flame of God's power from on high. Another account was Elijah. Elijah was a man there called by God a prophet in the days of Ahab. And there was a time when they were trying to... Ahab, the wicked king, stirred up by his wife, that wicked woman Jezebel. They found Elijah. And Ahab said to him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he says, "No, but thou art the one in thy house, and that they serve Baal." And Elijah says, "Okay, let's go up to Mount Carmel and let's build some altars there. Bring the prophets of Baal." And it says they brought the prophets of Baal. And Elijah, when he preached that message that day on Mount Carmel to those prophets of Baal, his words were, "How long halt ye between two opinions? Two opinions is divided loyalties, and divided loyalties puts the fire out in our heart and in your heart." We have institutions and organizations called fire companies, and they're there to put the fire out. Well, the Satan, he has them too. Yes, he does. He's there to extinguish that flame of living fire. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Quench not the Spirit." Divided loyalties, that you cannot serve God and Baal. And he said, "Let's get together here and let's make two altars. And you make one altar and you call upon your God, and I'll make an altar and I'll call upon my God." And his words and his message to them was, "And the God that answers by fire, let him be God." And then the prophets of Baal said, "Well said. We'll take the challenge. We'll do it." And they did it. And the account says of how they labored and labored to bring that fire, but it did not come. Elijah says, "Okay, now let's gather around here. Let's get this thing watered down good. Let's soak up this sacrifice. Let's dig these trenches and let's put all these barrels and barrels of water." And God drew near, Elijah drew near, and he says, "Oh God." He says, "Answer by fire." And it says the fire of God fell, and it consumed the altar, and it consumed the water, and it consumed the sacrifice, and it licked up everything there that day. The fire and the power of God. What a man of God. A man of God whose God answers by fire. May that be our cry tonight. May that be our heart's desire to seek the God that answers by fire. With these two accounts, let's consider our prayer life. The minister's prayer life. The minister's life before his God. The man of God plowing in the closet so he can reap in the pulpit. The man of God waiting upon his God on his knees, or maybe standing, pacing his office, Bible in hand, pleading for his God. "Oh Lord, my sheep, my flock, my beautiful flock that thou hast given me," Jeremiah 20 says. "I need to feed them. I need the Word. And that Word needs to be inspired with the power and the fire and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost." And we wait before our God. And we seek His face. And we draw near like Moses draw near to the bush. And we wait upon our God like Elijah. And all the prophets were cutting themselves and all the things they were doing. You know, we can do many things to muster up strength, power, and fire. But brothers and sisters, this fire is not from us. We are not the fire and we are not the resources of the fire. God is the resource of this fire, and the Holy Spirit is that power of fire as we stand to preach the Word of God. And may we seek our God. May we call upon our God. May we wait, as Jesus says, in our closet of prayer. And there may we cry out before our God, and He who seeth in secret in the closet of prayer will reward thee openly in the pulpit of your congregation. We need that fire as we stand to feed our people the precious, precious words of truth. And if we don't have that fire, there's a great lack in not only our hearts, but in their hearts as well. And there's a great lack in our congregation. And there's no energy. And there's no power there. And the Word of God just seems like, when who was it? When Lot went back to his son-in-laws to tell him to get out of the city, it says his words seemed like idle tales. They didn't believe him. Do our people believe us? Do they believe the Word of God? The Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer. Fervent means hot. It means to the point of boiling if you're talking about water. If you're talking about steel, it means where that steel is red hot or white hot, you might even want to say. Where that blacksmith gets that steel that hot, that he brings them together and he pounds them together and they come out of that furnace one piece. When in there, several pieces or two pieces, but they were fervently heated. And brothers and sisters, the prayer like that, it says, is effectual. The word effect means it will have effects. It will make a difference. Indeed it will. Effect is power. Power is effect. And the effectual prayer of a righteous man, it avails much, brothers and sisters, or dear brethren, this evening. We don't have sisters here this evening. Well, maybe we do have a few. My dear wife's here today. Praise God. She made it here. Brother Dale's wife's been here a number of years, but we were farther out in the country and came back this way, and she was with us, so she can be here for a day or two to enjoy this time with Sister Suzanne, who have been friends for many long years. What a blessing that can be. So it's not sisters, it's brethren. Shepherds, pastors, ministers, deacons, bishops, elders, whatever you find your responsibility to be here this evening, we need to seek our God in the closet of prayer. And we need to purge our heart, allow Him to enlighten that flame and fan that flame, that fire might burn and that power of the Holy Spirit might come down into our hearts. Could we be as Epaphras? Colossians 4:12 talks about a man named Epaphras. And it says he always labors fervently for you in prayer. He's a man that put to action what James was speaking about there. He always, not just when he felt like it, not just when it was suitable, not just when the occasion arose, but he always, this man lived the life of prayer. This man interceded before God. Like Anne in the temple, it says day and night, she ceased not to pray before God in that temple. And he labored that way. He labored. Could we be an Epaphras that labors always in prayer? We sing in that old hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love. In verse 2, we say, before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Ardent means hot. Ardent means heated. Ardent means fervent. Ardent means zealous and jealous for the Lord. Indeed it does. May God set us a fire this evening. May He set us a fire with the energy, the divine energy that only He can set us a fire by. We can't get this energy from the resources of this world. We can't pray, work it up in our emotions. We must, brothers and sisters, seek our face of our God until He burns that fire vividly and deeply down into our hearts. And let's not quit before it happens. And when that fire, you know when fire starts dying down. We know that. Our brother says he has needs. You have needs. I have needs. That fire does not always burn in my heart. That strain in my relationship with my blessed Master, it comes in there at times. Fire cools down. Things seem just a little bit off. Just doesn't seem right. Not necessarily that we've committed some sin, but the distance goes in there. The dryness, the weakness, the frailness. And we need to seek the face of our God. And we need to seek His face until that fire is fanned. Back in the Old Testament, they had an offering there in the tabernacle. And it says of that offering in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And may the fire of God be burning upon the altar of our prayers as we pour our hearts to our God and seek His will, that fire would never go out, dear brethren. May we purpose with diligence and discipline to draw near to our Heavenly Father, for there's nothing the heart of our Heavenly Father longs for more than for you to just draw near to Him. Draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And may we at the hour of the prayer keep that fire burning in our hearts. May we in that closet gather sticks and kindling for the faggots of the fire in the pulpit as we stand there and preach the Word of God each time God has asked us to do so. Now let's look at the fire in another aspect. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, He drove them from the garden. And with a cherubim in the entrance of the garden, He placed a cherubim with a sword, it says, of fire to keep the tree of life. So we like to think of this sword being a fire in the hand of the preacher. God's Word, it says in Ephesians 6:18, take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Here is that fire, dear brethren, as we stand to feed our people, as we work in our workplace, as we are with our children and our dear wife in our homes, and we teach our children the principles of this precious Word. It's like a fire, a sword of fire in our hands to wield against the powers of darkness and of Satan, to bring down His kingdom, that the kingdom of our Lord can be established in the hearts of our families and people. The Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 4, that familiar verse, that the Word of the Lord is quick. It is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and in the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And all things are open and naked before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's God's Word. That's God's fire. It opens the hearts and the lives. You ever witnessing to somebody? Somebody's challenging you and you don't know what to say? Just simply quote the Scripture to them. Give them the Word of God. That Word has a way to work into their hearts more than what you do. That power that you wield is a sword to that person. And you don't have to preach everything the same to everybody. You don't have to lay out the whole plan of salvation, but whatever the subject on the floor is, take God's Word and what He has taught you about it and give them the Scripture. It's a sword, and it'll get down into the very depths of their hearts, and it'll make a change. Indeed it will. It'll challenge those people, and it'll give them something to think about, maybe more than the words that we might memorize or think we need to say at a particular time. So, brethren, take this Word of God and preach it. Preach it, dear brethren, with fervency. Preach it with zeal. Preach it with earnestness. And let it burn into the hearts, not only of yourself, but also into the hearts of your people. Does not Jeremiah say in Jeremiah 23:29, is not My Word like a fire, saith the Lord? Indeed it is. And Jeremiah was quite young when the Lord called him, and that was one of his excuses. Remember, Moses said, I don't know how to talk. I'm not eloquent. That was what he said. But Jeremiah said, I'm too young. I'm but a child. God said, have not I formed you in the womb? You go and you don't fear their faces. But you go and you give unto them, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Word of God. And he did that. Do you know what? Jeremiah, like us, got discouraged. He's called the weeping prophet. He was called to people that did not want to hear what he had to say. He was called to a people that thought he was crazy. He was out of his mind. And they didn't want to obey him. And they didn't want to listen to him. And they gave him all kinds of treatment. They put him down in the dungeon. Yes, they did. But you know, it was Zedekiah, King Zedekiah, come sneaking to him one night. He comes into his house. And he says to Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? That man knew where the Word needed to come from. He knew, brothers and sisters, or dear brethren this evening, is there any word from the Lord? So whatever issue is in your congregation tonight, and in my congregation, let's ask the question like Zedekiah, is there any word from the Lord? Let's seek the Word of the Lord on this issue. Well, in chapter 20, Jeremiah says, he names a number of things there verses 7 through 10. He says, I've been deceived. He says, you ever feel like you've been deceived? Have you ever had energy, aspirations to go and to do a work for God, to preach His Word? And it just sort of, I don't know what I was thinking of. I've been deceived. I just thought it was going to work this way, but it just don't always work that way. I've been deceived. That's what Jeremiah's words. He uses a number of other words here. I've been in derision. Yes, they derided Christ. Jeremiah says, I've been in derision. He said, they mocked me. He says, they've been violent to me. These are words that Jeremiah says. They spoiled. Reproach. I'm a reproach to them. I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to preach God's Word anymore. We'll have more on that tomorrow, Lord willing. So sometimes we get the feeling like Jeremiah. The word that we preach, the ministry, the labor, the prayers, it just doesn't seem to have the effect. What did Jeremiah say? After he says, I'm not going to preach anymore. But it says in verse 9, but His word was in my heart like a burning fire. And then I said, He says, I could not stay. I could not sit at home any longer. I had to get up and get back to my post. That word was in me. It was just burning and burning. And if I didn't get out there and give that burning release, I'd be like Elihu. He says, I'm like wine that doesn't have a vent. I'm going to burst. But he says, I went out there and he preached the word of God because it was in me like a burning fire. May God help us when we stand to preach before our people that we have the energy and the zeal that unless we preach this word, we're going to be consumed by the powers of the word itself. Yes, Elihu says in chapter 32, verse 8, but there is a spirit in a man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. He was just a younger fellow and he sat down while the other three friends of Job gave their peace. And he hardly sits still. And he was, because he was younger, he waited his lot. He waited his turn. And he says, age doesn't always teach wisdom. No. But he said, there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Now that word inspiration is not mentioned often in Scripture. It's mentioned once here. It's also mentioned where Brother Dale read this evening. Over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it simply means the wind or the breath of God. That's what the word inspiration means. It's the breath of God. Speaking with inspiration is speaking under the breath of our Heavenly Father. Think about that. As you stand before your people and feed their souls that God created. He's their Creator. Everyone is created by God. And we need to remind them of that. They don't understand that. I told a woman that it was up in my face. It was calling me all kind of names just recently. I told her, I said, I love you because you're created by God. She didn't know what to say. Everything stopped. And she said, I'm caving in. I'm caving. Dear brethren, every soul we meet, whether it's that person on the other side of the gas pump, it's pumping gas, he's going that way and Route 70, you're going this way. Or whether it's that person that puts the gas or the fuel in your tank at work, that person works beside you, that person in the booth, wherever it might be, at the toll road, they all have a soul that's created by God. And nothing will fill that void in their soul but God, and you are His man to do it. We are here to do it. That is God's purpose. The Son of God has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that void in the hearts of the sheep of your pasture, you are placed there as their shepherd to minister under the breath and the inspiration. Preach, dear brethren, with the inspiration of God to the hearts of your people, not their heads. Too much technology. Yes, but with your heart in tune with God's heart to their hearts. Oh, it meets the needs in their lives. It refreshes their souls and fills that void in their hearts. Sometimes some people come to me and say, you trampled my toes. And I said, I'm sorry, I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your heart. That's where it needs to be, in their heart. Not just your toes. May God give us a burden. May He give us a passion for the truth of God's Word as a flaming fire to meet the needs in the hearts and lives of those we speak to. Preaching with inspiration reaches the heart of our people. Indeed it does. Not entertainment. I think we're getting a little mixed up in those two words in this generation. Entertainment feeds the flesh. Inspiration feeds the soul. We're not here to entertain the flesh. We're here to feed the souls of mankind. Let us don't get confused in that. May the Lord quicken us and open our mouths. Scripture says there in Psalms 1 place, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes we just get the feeling sort of, well, I don't know, maybe a little like Elijah. We'll talk about him tomorrow, Lord willing. We pity ourselves. And we sort of just draw back. And we just sort of allow a little bit of hardness in our hearts, insensitivity in our conscience before our God. And we just sort of go through the routine of preaching. Sunday morning, let's see. David, you're on. I preach Sunday morning. Not again, already. Sure, it seems like I just preached. And we can give excuses. Sometimes when we stand to preach, we give all these excuses of how busy we've been this week. And this appointment came to me rather sudden, and I just didn't have a lot of time to prepare. A lot of other brethren here, I'm sure, could do a better job than me. I just feel unworthy. And we should feel our need of Him. We should understand our inadequacy without Him. Don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to talk about that. But sometimes it seems like we make excuses for the ministry under discouragement or maybe just wore out or routine. And we announce our text as if it were a rumor. And we belabor through our message. And we become intimidated by all the sleepers and the clock watchers. But we tread on. We try and get through this thing. And we handle these diamonds as though they were marbles and these treasures as though they were trifles. But brethren, we have the word of the Lord. May it with spring in our heels, standing in the pulpit without apologies or excuses. And may we, under the inspiration of our Heavenly Father and as our Savior and as the disciples, preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to our people. It reaches their hearts. It transforms. It feeds their souls. It gives them a touch of heaven. They might not be sleeping so much. And we try to say something about concluding thoughts amidst all these yawning people that are bored in our audience. And at the end we apologize for whatever and sit down with a sigh of relief after the benediction and say, phew, made it through that one. No wonder someone said on Sunday noon at 12 o'clock, the clock struck 12 and the church gave up her dead. Help us, Lord. That's not church life. That's not New Testament church life. No, it isn't. Brethren, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. It's a flaming fire. Preach it with anointing. Preach it with the power of God. And I know we're all different. We all have different mannerisms. We all have different voices. We all have different ways to express ourselves. And that's not what I'm saying here tonight. That you need to try and imitate and be someone else. You just be yourself. Just, when I say yourself, not after the flesh. But you just be the way God anoints and fills and uses you to minister the needs of your people. And I am blessed and amazed how every minister and every brother, different as they might be, different deliveries, different contents, different styles of preaching. Just like a person when you talk to them. You know, you don't have to talk to a person very long and you can hit their interest. Or maybe they'll tell you and the lights go on. And then they might be a very reserved person. And they might not have a lot to say. And they might be these kind of, they're not forward like other people are. And they're just sort of in the background. But when you hit that, you see a twinkle in their eyes. Something lights up. That's just what you be. Whatever your disposition is. Whatever, brothers. We're all different. Bless the Lord, we are. We certainly wouldn't want everybody to be like us, would we? Certainly not. Did you ever think about that? You want everybody in your church to be like you? I don't think so. God help us. But the body is diverse. But it's the same Lord, the same Father, and the same Spirit. So however God has made you, and talented you, and gifted you, and created you. Just like that shy man, when you get on basketball, if that's what it is, something happens. The wheels start moving. And that's how we need to preach the Word of God. The wheels need to be in motion. This lethargy, this deadness, this uninterest, this insincerity that we handle this precious Word of God does not feed the souls of our children. Preach the Word. Now, you know, that's three simple words, but I like to think about them this evening. Preach the Word. You know, there's a place that Jesus is praying. I think it's probably Luke chapter 11. It says the disciples, when he finished, said to him, "Teach us to pray." They did not say, "Teach us how to pray." And neither does that what this verse says. It's not talking about how to preach. It's preach. It's pray. Pray. Teach us to pray. We need to pray. And when you pray, and when you preach, preach the Word of God. You know, you can read the Word of God, and we should. You can sing the Word of God. How many quotes of Scripture are we singing those hymns this evening? We sing those truths. We read those truths. We can teach the Word. We can speak the Word. And we can say that familiar phrase that's so common in today's language. We can share the Word. Our brother's going to get up and share the Word. Or after he's done, we say, "Thank you, brother, for sharing the Word." The Bible says, preach the Word. And I'm not saying when we preach the Word, we're not doing any of the above. But we can do all those and not preach the Word. Preach it. Preach it word for word. And the best way to do that is expository preaching. Just take that book, and brother, when you're called on, you know, we get called on. I got called on this morning. Brother said to me, "Here's the Bible. Share with us." He didn't tell me last night, "You get something ready for tomorrow morning. I'd like you to share something with my family here before you leave." No, I came down, set up the table. He shoved the Bible over to mine on the table and says, "There you are, brother. You share with us this morning." Well, I thought, "Well, I've been preaching all weekend to them people. What do they want to hear from me again for?" But brother, you know, we get ourselves in a bind sometimes, and someone will say, "Give us a word of exhortation," like they did to Paul. "If you brethren have a word of exhortation, say on." Paul didn't say, "Well, I'm sorry, I forgot my computer. I don't have it along tonight. You just have to ask someone else." He didn't say. He did mention the books. He mentioned the parchments. He told Timothy, "Be sure to bring them when you come." Sure he had books. Sure he had parchments. I believe he wrote a lot, probably more than I do, I'm sure, more than many of us do. His hand, by me, the hand of Paul, the aged. And he didn't make all kinds of excuses. "Well, I just don't have nothing. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. I mean, I had a long week. You got to understand, I didn't have much sleep last night. And I just prefer to get someone else." Brethren, when you are called upon, preach the Word of God. Stand and preach it. Yes, and you don't always have to have the outlines just perfectly. You don't have to always, and I'm not saying that's not good and necessary. You do not always have to have all your thoughts thought through and wrote down. Stand with the inspiration of God. If we're living in the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're walking with God, it should be no problem to take His Word and share it with whoever it is. A family at the breakfast table, the men at work in the lunchroom, or our congregation where maybe we were visitors and they saw us back there. "Hey, you come over here and you preach tonight. Or you have an opening devotions." Stand and open the Word and read it word for word and give sense and understanding to that Word to the hearts of the people. That's preaching the Word of God. Take the Word, word for word, and preach it to our people. There's no substitute for preaching the Word of God. Singing is good. Singing is necessary. Praying is good. Teaching is good. Yes, there's a lot of things. Sharing can be good. But brethren, there is no substitute for the preaching of God's Word, for through the foolishness of preaching, it pleases the Lord to save them that believe. We can preach around the Word. We can preach about the Word. Yes, we can preach about subjects and titles, and I'm not saying we should not do that, brethren, but there is no replacement for the literal, inspired preaching of the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I believe we need to have a vision of God. Isaiah chapter 6. "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And all these seraphims, he beheld them. And he saw this whole scene. I believe he backed away. And I believe it says they covered their face, but I believe he did too. And then he says, "Ah, Lords, I'm an unclean man. I'm undone. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips." And it says one of the seraphims took the tongs, and from the altar of God he took a live coal. And it says he put that coal upon his mouth, and it says he touched his lips. He was purged and cleansed by a vision of who God is. May God give us a vision of who He is. It'll have a life-changing purging in our hearts like nothing else in this world can do. You don't get that online, dear brother. No. That you see God in His glory, in His majesty, in His power, in His holiness. Then when God says, "Who will go for me?" up comes Isaiah. He no longer was giving any more excuses. He no longer was mucking around about the condition he was in. But he was touched by God. He was anointed. He was filled. And that holy fire was in his heart. He said, "Hear my Lord, send me. I'll go." We need preachers like that. With fire in the pulpits, so there can be fire in the people's hearts. Sometimes we lament over the conditions and the lethargy and the backsliding and the drift in our people's hearts. But maybe the problem is right here. Maybe there needs to be more fire in the pulpit. Fire of God, not wild fire. Not fire mustered up by us, but no, in humbleness and brokenness as we are broken before God. When He touches our lips, we stand with God's power and help and strength, and we preach the precious Word of God to our people. That's what we're talking about. We need to see the Lord. Indeed we do. How did Jesus preach? What saith the Scriptures? Let's read. When John met Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, we said his eyes were a flame of fire, but it says his voice was as many waters. You ever stand by the ocean? Those rugged coasts of the ocean. Not your beautiful beaches, Brother Chris. Down at the window, where the coast is rugged, banks are high, wind is blowing, the waves are... I saw waves one time as high as this building, 30, 40 feet. And they hit those breakers, hit that rocks, and it was louder than thunder. You had to go like this. It was tremendous. I believe that's how John heard the voice of Jesus. You say, well, that was after he was glorified. Well, true, maybe it was. Let's read some more scriptures about Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 32, he was tempted of the devil. And then after he was tempted, it says he came down out of the wilderness, off of the mountain where he was tempted, in the power of the Spirit. And brethren and sisters, that's how he preached, in the power of the Spirit. And he went into the temple and they gave him the book to read. And it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he read from Isaiah and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And that's how he preached. And brethren, to imitate him and to be the servants of him, we should seek to preach in the power of the Spirit with the anointing of God to the poor and to those who will hear, the lame, the halt, those in prison, those who are cast down, those who are bound up, those who are wounded, those who are hurting, those who are in captivity, and to those that need to hear the preaching of the acceptable year of the Lord. Preaching under the anointing of God. John says in his epistle, we have an unction from the Holy One. Yes, that unction is the anointing of God upon our hearts and lives. And while I realize that He gave Christ the Spirit without measure, signifying to us He gives it with measure, we'll never be able to preach like He did in His fullness. In this flesh, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe that's limiting the power of what God is able to do in you, brethren, if you just let Him do it. Preaching under the power of the Spirit. Then it says in verse 32 of that same chapter, and they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. Power is something that's effective. Power is something that accomplishes something. Power is energy. And we're not talking about mustered up energy of the flesh. We're not talking about the energy of our natural born talents, although God uses them. We're talking about the energy from God through us to our people as we preach the Word of God to them. Divine energy makes a fire burn. You need air to get the fire going, don't you? Yes, you used to have the old bellers. Get those bellers going. Get them going in your prayer closet and fan them little sparks that God's power and His wonderful power can be manifested in our hearts. It says in John chapter 7, we must hurry on here. A lot of you traveled far today. You're tired. Bless your hearts. I trust when you go to your bed, you can't sleep because the fire of God's just burning like it did in Isaiah's in there, but that He gives you rest. John chapter 7, in the last day, we're in the last day, aren't we? It doesn't say the last days, it says the last day, and that meant the last day of that great feast. Jesus stood, it says, and He cried. That's how He preached. He stood and He cried. If any man thirst, let him come to Me and drink. Says he that, what does it say? On Me, as the Scripture saith, out of his belly, thank you, brother, shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that was not yet given. That's how he preached. He stood and he cried. He lifted up his voice and he cried. Also in John 11, he was at Lazarus' tomb. And it says, when he walked up to that tomb, he said, Lazarus, I know this is going to be hard, but maybe you could consider to come out of that grave. Been in there long enough. No, it says in John chapter 11, verse 43, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he came forth. That was how he was ministering there. I think there's times his voice was quieter than other times. And so is ours. Some teaching, some, just like some songs. Some songs are prayer songs. We sing them in prayer to our God. Other songs are songs of jubilant and victory. And we sing them with enthusiasm. And don't be afraid of that word. I think it comes from the two words in theo, which is in God. You don't need to be afraid about being in God, do you? Absolutely not. We sing them in God. We sing them with enthusiasm and maybe preach just as well. Well, it says of the Spirit, John the Baptist talked about the Holy Ghost. And he says, when I'm here, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's one among you whom you know not, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to loose. When he comes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the day of Pentecost says they were all together. They were in one place. They were in one accord. They were waiting on God. Jesus told them before He ascended, go back to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with that power, that energy, that fire that comes from Me. Jesus said while He was here, it's expedient for Me to go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But if I go away, He will come and He shall be with you and shall be in you. Thank you, brethren. Yes, He will. So they were gathered together. They were in an upper chamber. Songwriter says they all were in one accord when the Holy Ghost descended as was promised by our Lord. Yes, this Holy Ghost, this holy fire descended to our fathers who were true, and it's promised to believers, and we all may have it too. It says, tongues, cloven tongues, like as a fire, set upon each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Lord gave them utterance, and what did they talk about? The Bible says in verse 11 of Acts chapter 2, all these people who were gathered there heard Him speak the wonderful works of God. That's what they were preaching. They were preaching under the fresh anointing, that infant church, that newborn church. They're gathered together, anointed by God. They were preaching about the wonderful works of God. May we do the same. Then it says, Peter, a little bit farther down there, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. That's how he preached. He lifted up his voice. And he says to them people there, what did he say? Men and brethren, we're not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That word prophesy means speak with inspiration. Praise God. Your sons and your daughters. They have their heads covered. They have a place and a time. It might not be here, but there's a place and a time that they can share the wonderful works of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to their precious children in their home as they teach them the great eternal truths of God's Word, speaking to them with inspiration. Yes, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And it filled all them. It says again in Acts chapter 4 over there, when they got together there, they prayed, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the Word of God in shyness. With boldness, they spake the Word of God. That's how the apostles preached. Boldness, boldly, is referred to as Apostle Paul. It says he spoke the Word of God boldly in numerous accounts in Scripture. And that word bold means frank in utterance and confidence in spirit and demeanor. Not fearing the faces or the favor of man, but fearing God. Speaking in the confidence and the anointing of God upon their lives. May God help us to preach just the same. Now there's some verses over in 1 Corinthians that I'd just like to close here with, and it is this. Brother Andy already read one of these verses. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is how Paul wrote about his preaching. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of Christ. When we preach from the head, we reach the head. But when we preach from the heart, we reach the heart. For I determined, this man had a persuasion, he had a steadfast determination that he wasn't going to preach and know anything among them save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was his topic. And then he says in verse 3, I was with you in weakness. That means he had some frailties. I was in fear. That word there means, the Greek word there is where we get our word phobia. I had a phobia. It means a dread. And in much trembling. I don't know, was he shaking? Did he have a shaking condition? I believe it was he that trembleth at my word, Isaiah 66:1. He trembled that he would stand before these people in the presence of God and break the bread of everlasting life to his people. He trembled before his holy God. The Bible says the Quakers got their name because they shook. A lot of people are shaky about what they believe, and not many people are shaken by what they believe. Shaken before a holy God. And he says in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of wisdom, man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. May God help each one of us, brethren, to preach with zeal, spiritual fervor, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ our Lord. Appreciated that one hymn we sang tonight, A Charge to Keep I Have. My grandfather, almost every time he preached, would ask the congregation to sing that song before he would stand to that charge and preach God's Word. I can see him yet, even though I was a young teenager when he passed off of this scene. But I can see him standing up there when he got up after the closing of that song. Another song he loved with this was this we have in our old brethren hymn, though. Oh, for that flame of living fire, which shone so bright in saints of old, which bade their souls to heaven aspire, calm in distress and danger bold. Where is that Spirit, Lord, which dwelt in Abram's breast and sealed him thine, which made Paul's heart with sorrow melt and glow with energy divine? That Spirit which from age to age proclaimed thy love and taught thy ways, brightened Isaiah's vivid page and breathed in David's hallowed lays. Is not thy grace as mighty now as when Elijah felt its power? When glory beamed from Moses' brow or Job endured the trying hour? Remember, Lord, the ancient days. Renew thy work right here with these dear brethren. Thy grace restore. And while to thee our hearts we raise, on us thy Holy Spirit pour. Brother Allen.